Good evening, good evening, good morning, Dr. Sean, to everyone that is coming on. Welcome, come on in, come on in. Welcome to another episode of the Battle Plan Podcast, where we are showing you how to win on all fronts in spiritual warfare. And today, oh my goodness, we have a treat for you today. I have someone on here that I greatly admire, I greatly love. I'm going to introduce you to a man who has a mandate to raise up and equip prophetic voices for the kingdom of God, kingdom expansion. He is the senior leader of ENC Hub in Farmville and of Raleigh Hub and, of course, Raleigh. He is my pastor. He is my mentor. He is an honest voice of God, and I love him so much. Everybody, please help me welcome to the broadcast the very, very doctorate Dr. Charlie Howe III. Welcome, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Hope everybody is doing good. Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you. I'm honored to discuss spiritual warfare and the prophetic. So I'm excited about tonight's discussion and being able to share the word of God with your audience.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm excited about it too, because this is something of a little bit something new that we are concentrating just on spiritual warfare and all of the aspects that has to go with it. And I think this is a pretty big world. What do you think? Do we have enough revelation, or do we talk about spiritual warfare enough so that people can actually know they're in a war and win the war?
I feel as a body of Christ, I think we talk a lot about recently, maybe the last 5 years, there was a lot of discussion on deliverance. But when we think about spiritual warfare, it is bigger than just casting out devils. And I think, you know, I was even here, you know, praying and meditating and talking to the Lord about, you know, the whole scope of deliverance. And I think a lot of times people miss the objective of spiritual warfare, and half the battle, maybe 3/4 of the battle, is not even in spiritual warfare. It's not about Satan as much as it is about God in your individual identity. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about like all of the different verses in the Bible that discuss the engagement between the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And the Lord just said to me that more than 3/4 of what we see is people not realizing who they are. Therefore, they're losing battles they were charged and called to win, simply because they have misplaced identity or identity crises. And they don't realize that when we think about the kingdom of light, and I know we're getting already into it. When we think about the kingdom of darkness, you know, we think about the kingdom of light, which opposes the kingdom of darkness, and or God's kingdom versus the devil's or Satan kingdoms. We don't really realize that if we just focus on the light, the darkness has to flee. And us realizing that we bear the light, that literally there is the struggle is not a struggle with Satan as much as it is a struggle with yourself. Not realizing who you are, that the battle, I feel like preaching, is already won, essentially. And what we're called to do is submit to God, resist the devil, and the Bible says what he's going to do. He's going to flee every time.
Flee.
So when we think about spiritual warfare, you know, I think the war is with Satan, but most importantly, the war is internal. It is the enemy that's in me that's causing me not to realize who I am. Therefore, now I'm in a carnal battle with Satan. If I just accept who I am, there is no battle.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And you said something I think is so important, because I hear a lot of people talk about, well, the devil's after me, or the devil stole my wallet, or the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. But you're saying that the focus in that, having your focus on that so often, that could be a wrong focus. Yes. In this. Is that right?
Yes. I think a lot of times, you know, because this is the thing, when you focus so much on the devil, he operates in magnification. He makes things bigger and appear bigger than what they really are. And that is the goal, because the more you focus on him, the less you focus on God. And oftentimes, when we think about the ministry of deliverance, people focus more on demons and demonology and casting out devils, that they think just because they're doing mighty exploits for God or on behalf of him, that they're in him. Mm-hmm. And I think the focus should be on God more than on the devil. And then when we realize who we are in Christ, come on, it discombobulates the enemy when we know who we are.
Yeah, yeah. I quote this something from Sun Tzu a whole lot in the Art of War. And he says, if you know your enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the outcome of 100 battles. Of course, I would say if you know your enemy and you know who you are in Christ, you need not fear the outcome of 100 battles, because you know where your help is coming from.
Wow. Yes. Yes, that's good. That's good. That is good. I think you're really on to something.
Okay. Okay. So now, a lot of people that watch this particular podcast, they may not understand, because we're going to get into the prophetic technologies that assist us in war, but they may not understand or be familiar with some of the words that we're going to use. So I would love to go through a quick definition of a few words, just so they can understand what we're talking about. We can be on the same page.
Yes.
When you talk about the prophetic, and you mentioned the prophetic, what exactly do you mean by that?
So when we're talking about the prophetic, so the word prophetic is, of course, it's an adjective. So it describes it describes people. It can refer to a type of gift. It can refer to a word, an action, an atmosphere, a ministry. It means essentially that whatever has been described is inclusive of the voice of the Lord, or it engages in the mind of God, if that makes sense. So there is, if somebody say this is prophetic, it's describing a person that is intuitive to what God is saying. So there are certain, I would say, music like that kind of releases the word of the Lord. You know, like there are certain atmospheres where revelation is exchanged. There are certain people who just carry a knowing. They just know information. So we say that person is prophetic. So the word prophetic is an adjective. It is not the message. It's describing a gift, a person, an atmosphere, an individual, or something that readily conveys what God is thinking or what God wants to say or what God is expressing, if that makes sense.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. So, and now if we're talking about the prophetic, so is everyone, can I be prophetic and not be a prophet?
Yes, well, I would say everyone, believe it, we got to think, like, to be made in God's image and his likeness. And if God is a talking God, and everything that God made and everything that has been formed has ears to hear, or else it couldn't have been made, if that makes sense. Right. Like, in order for things to come into place and be formed, it had to hear at one point. So I think everything in its spiritual molecular structure has the ability to hear God. Mm. If it was created by voice, then it has to, at its lowest level, hear voice, the voice of God. And I think we got to realize that is, God wants us to hear, right? God, in Jesus, obviously, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, what is saying, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's not saying that there's some people who have an ear, some people who don't have an ear, but they're saying that some people choose not to hear from the spiritual ear. They rather hear from the natural ear, if that makes sense. So everything has an ability to hear God. So if it has an ability to hear God, everything has the right, the injunction to be prophetic in and of itself. Most times people say, you know, I just feel like I've been here before, you know, and there are many there. And when we talk about prophecies or prophetic, there are many things that conveys messages or the mind of God. And I mean, I'll give you a few examples if you don't mind me. You know, people have dreams. You know, I had a dream. Martin Luther King was the only one that had a dream. Praise God. Matter of fact, when you look biblically speaking, dreams were the first indication that an individual was a prophet. God said, if there'll be a prophet among you, I myself will make myself known to him in a vision, in the night, right? Or in a dream. So dreams are vehicles that can carry the word. So dreams are prophetic. Not all dreams, but that's sometimes God will give you a message, or God will give you a warning, or God will give you an inkling, or, you know, in dreams. And when I say dreams, while you're asleep. But then there are visions as well that God can give you while you're awake. Some people call it daydreams. Some people call it, you just see things while you're awake on people, like words on people, or even over your eyes, you know, or, you know. So you have dreams, you have visions, then you have the inner knowing. You know, some of you guys, I just feel bad about this person. It's not suspicion all the time. Sometimes it's the Lord giving you that umph, that I can say spider sense, I say Holy Ghost sense, that something is off, not quite there. So you then you have, I mean, it's so many technologies that God can convey his word through. I think the more we expose ourselves to the way that God speaks, the more we open ourselves up to the word of the prophetic.
Okay, that's good. That's awesome. So from that, since you mentioned the word technologies, are these some of the technologies or the way God relates to us that helps us in our moments of spiritual battle, whether it's against our mind, our body, or, you know, some outside?
Yes, spirit? I think a lot of times God will let you know what you're up against. I wonder, Jesus, and I'm going to bring Judas in here. Jesus had a knowing. There was a prophetic moment that opened up with Jesus where Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me, right? Mm-hmm. I think when we are walking with God, he shares with us trials that we're getting ready to go through. He gives us information about tests that we're up against. I remember, and I would say it was spiritual warfare because it was attacking against my actual person, my body. I was going through the doctor. I mean, I think I went 3 times to the emergency room and they could not find what was going on with me. I had MRI, I had all these tests. After the third time, I remember, I'll never forget it. It was actually Thanksgiving Day. I got ordained that day as an elder in 2011. And I went to the doctor after 3 times. And then that night, the Lord took me in a vision. In the vision, I see myself laying on the operating table and I hear the doctor over me. Now, I'm actually in the spirit. I hear the doctor over me say, it's his appendix. I wake up the next morning, Mom, it's my appendix. I need to go to the doctor. I go to the doctor. I tell them, it's my appendix. Check my appendix. They check my appendix and it was my appendix. I had to rush into surgery.
Wow.
It was my appendix was the size of almost my pinky. It was supposed to be the size of my fingernail. And they said, I don't know why it didn't rupture.
Wow.
So there are times where you can be up against various things in your life, up against storms, up against battles, not knowing, God, what way do I turn? And God will give you a special message that'll help you detour a battle or in a plot from the enemy. The Lord has shown me various things about people that were up against me. God has given me words about people who were trying to betray me. God has given me message about, I mean, several things that the Lord has spoken to me to warn me of impending danger, right? And it's not just for war. I mean, it's for times of peace. It's for times of favor. But I know we're talking about specifically spiritual warfare. So there are things that God may reveal to you, you know, how to evade a bad era, bad contract, bad people, bad business deal. Maybe there's a job that you're at. You don't realize that it's limiting your momentum in Christ, that's warfare, financial. And the Lord will give you a spirit, a word through the spirit or inkling in your spirit that you need to change jobs, switch jobs. And so God will give you through prophetic technologies, information that will help further your spiritual and your natural development in the earth.
Okay. So I get that. That's good. So that means that basically God wants to take an active position in our lives and want, because I always hear him talk about he has your watchtower that he'll watch over. Is this part of that to be able to tell you or to be able to relate to you what your position should be in anything that you're any adversary in adversity or anything that's popping up? Is that how the prophetic can help us when we go through these situations?
The prophetic is vital. There's a scripture. I'm looking at it right now. Watch this. Matter of fact, for you to be ignorant is an oxymoron if you're a believer, right? For you to be caught off guard, not to know, not be in the know at any given point as it relates to the kingdom of darkness is an oxymoron. We are always called to be in the know, all right? Mm-hmm. That's K-N-O-W. We're always called to be in the know. As a prophetic, knowing is information. And God always wanted us to be in the know. But watch this, he wanted us to be in the know with him and not without him. That was the deception in the Garden of Eden, the knowledge of good and evil without God. Yeah. God always wanted us to be in the know. And that's the prophetic. See, the prophetic is not information. The prophetic is the mind of God concerning.
Okay, that makes a difference.
Concerning the information. So that makes a big difference. When you put God in the equation, it's not what is projected to happen, it's what God desires to happen. And that's what we contend in the earth and we fight for, what the Lord desires, not what we desire. Oh, bless his name. And so God doesn't want us to be ignorant at any point as it relates to the enemy. So 2 Corinthians 1 and 18 says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience. We don't want you, that's not the scripture I'm looking for, but there's a scripture talking about we don't want to be ignorant towards Satan devices, right? So how do I not be ignorant? I access the mind of God and receive spiritual intel. Ignore 2 Corinthians 1 and 8. I was looking for that scripture. We don't want to be ignorant towards Satan's devices. And I didn't write it down. My Bible's closed. So I tried to type it in, but it didn't work. But we don't want you to be ignorant, right? The Bible says this. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of men. Come on. Mm-hmm. The things that God has what in store prepared for you. But watch it. He said, but.
Yes.
That's the key point. He said, but he has revealed it. Come on. By what? By his spirit. Mm-hmm. Right, and then it's about the spirit searches the deep things. Yes, the deep things, come on, of God. So that lets me know that God always wants me to be in the know. He said, the hearts of men, come on. Mm-hmm. But we're not normal, we're the sons of God, right? Mm-hmm. So God always wants us to be in the know concerning information that he desires to do in our life, for our country, for our family, for our region, for our territory, for our career, for our jobs. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. All right. That, and we just have to trust in the Lord and be led by him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. Proverbs 3 and 5. Right. And all thy ways, what? Acknowledge. Yeah, him. Mm-hmm. The prophetic works in respect, which is acknowledging him. Right. Some people are not prophetic because of negligence. They've neglected God. They've rejected God. Right. And God talked about people perish for the lack of knowledge because they were rejected knowledge. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you reject or you walk in negligence, you neglect God, you welcome, come on, death, you welcome poverty, you welcome lack. But if you acknowledge God in all your ways, then he will what? Open up a prophetic channel and direct your path. Oh, bless
you. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good, because a lot of people like to say the resist the devil part, but they forget the first part is submit to God.
Submit to God. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you know, you can never conquer the devil without God.
Mm.
You can never conquer the
devil.
There's
no formula.
Right. There's no formula. He's been around longer than you. Come on. He's been around longer than your carnal flesh. And that's why you don't lean to your own understanding. You trust God. Why? Because he's the Ancient of Days. Come on. Mm-hmm. He existed before. He created this Joker. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Knowing he will do everything he's doing. Right? But it was all for us to trust him even the more.
Yes, yes. And you know, there's in Genesis, when it talks about the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, over the darkness, and darkness meaning an obscurity and all that. And the first thing that he did, if God is light, the first thing he did was say, let there be light, let there be a revelation of God inside the darkness that exists. And then nothing, that was the first thing. And then when he did that, the darkness and the day, that was the darkness and the light, that was the first day. So is that like a sort of a snapshot of how we need to enter every single day and situation that we're dealing with?
Yes. I enter every situation knowing that God created darkness and has authority over darkness. Mm. Come on. And that God called the light out of the darkness.
Mm.
Come on. He separated the two kingdoms. He called the light out of darkness. He told the darkness, come on, you're going to go first, then the light's going to come. Right? So I'm going to let you make your first move, but then I'm going to show you what it's like to move in revelation. And I think we got to realize that when the enemy is up against you and it looks like he has the upper hand, you got to realize that light hasn't made his move yet.
Mm. Mm.
So if you... Oh, that's the whole...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's
preach. That's the preach right there. So you got to realize that everything in your life, come on, is working for you, for your good, for your advantage.
Mm. Okay. So let's say I'm in church or I go somewhere and I get a prophetic word. Does that mean that word, since that is the mind of God or the heart of God toward me, does that mean that it automatically happens, or is there actually warfare for that word? I mean, what do I do with that?
Yeah, now I think every believer has to understand that the word of God, it needs your labor, it needs your partnership.
Okay,
it needs your labor, it needs your partnership. You have to wage a good war over the prophecies that you've received, right? You don't neglect them, but you partner with them, you decree them, you expect them, you work with prophetic words. Right, you pray them through. You decree them over your life. You believe it in your heart. You be fully convinced. You gotta work your word.
Okay,
and you gotta work your word because the enemy comes to take your word. So you gotta work your word. You gotta believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be what? Established. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe mm-hmm. in his prophets. So shall you what? Prosper or have good success. Mm-hmm. So many people believe in God and they're established, but it don't mean they're flourishing. They don't mean they're mm-hmm. successful.
Okay.
Right? You have to welcome and believe in the prophetic ministry that God still speaks concerning you, concerning your life, concerning your future. Come on. That he's still speaking over your life. He has spoken over your life. Come on. And mm-hmm. every day you and God are having a conversation about what he already spoke, what he already sealed. And mm-hmm. in that, you're working like every, you got to realize that a prophetic word can come forth, but God needs humans, come on, to work in this realm.
Okay. Yes. Yes,
so
sir.
You got to partner with this word, right? He needs you. When God created the earth, right? He put parameters in and on it, right? He put stipulations, like ramifications. We can't do but this. There are certain legalities in this realm.
Mm-hmm.
And we govern this realm. He gave us dominion. When he gave us dominion, he said, there's no need for me when I have you because you are me. I made you in my image, in my mm-hmm. life. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Guys, I didn't delegate my authority for me to take it back and do the work. I've given you the authority, and I've conveyed this. I've given you the message, the prophecy, to work in this realm, because God is saying, I want to show the devil, no matter where I place him, you're still under my authority. Oh, that'll
be yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes. So it reminds me of that scripture that says that it was the intent that we would show the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places.
We're supposed
to be showing them what God looks like when he's over this particular situation or when he's dealing with his people, what he looks like, so that they can wonder at all of the wisdom that he had in putting the Spirit of God in us.
Yes, it's the ultimate get back.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, God kicking the devil out of heaven, it wasn't the end of the battle. Mm-hmm. It was God evicting the devil. God's greatest comeback was putting his light in us and telling finite beings, I want you to now function and rule. Your days are numbered. Or not, because he's immortal, right? But you're going to have dominion. Am I preaching?
You getting it, yes.
But you're going to have dominion as a finite being over something that has existed before your great-grandmama.
Woo.
Come on, somebody.
Woo. I never thought about it like that.
Yes. I know the devil hate God for real. You know? God, I've been here for thousands of years, and you let Minister Elliot, who's only been here, come on, for 40, 30, 50 years, tell me what to do, and I've been here. Here when Earth was created. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Come on, listen, that's good right there.
Yes, yes.
That's good groceries.
Yes. All right, so, and that also reminds me of the parable of the sower.
Yes.
So if the sower sows the word, you have birds of the air fighting you to get that word out of you. You have the earth itself trying to spring up and get that word out of you. So this is a picture of warfare as well.
Yes, it is.
How precious you have, or how strongly you have to hold that word and work on that word.
Yeah, and I think it also shows us the environmental warfare that takes place when a prophetic word is released. Mm-hmm. Right? You have the sun. That's why and David said, the sun shall not smite thee by day. Mm-hmm. So you have everything that works with the moon and the sun against the word, right? Then you have the birds, right? Which birds represents things that are demonic or things that are dirty. Go back to Joseph's interpretation of the dream, right? The birds are plucking the cane.
Right.
So you're looking at things that take and feed off of something. But you have things that are environmental, right? Even the ground now is attacking what God is trying to instill, right? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, all of this is because of the harvest that's getting ready to come.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so everyone, we are definitely here with the doctor. He's made a house call today. I know that was real corny, but the doctor's in the house. I am going to open it up for questions. We might take one or two questions because we got something else that we're going to come back with after that. So let me open up the questions and answers. If you have some questions, you can go ahead and start putting them in there now, and I'll read them online. Read them while we're online. So as we're coming toward the close of this, we know that you talked about deliverance in the beginning, and then you said there's deliverance, but then there's something else, because now you have to keep your deliverance.
Yes.
All right, so what sort of things can I do to help me along that route?
Oh my God. Keeping your deliverance is being intentional about being filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled, refilled with the Spirit of God. That takes time with Him, spending time with the Lord. That takes, of course, prayer, fasting, community. Come on. A good church that is connected, is preaching the word of God. It takes, because guess what? The enemy is coming. He's coming to try everything. He's trying to occupy everything that he once filled. So it's up for us that when the enemy comes back, that we just ain't looking like we put together, but we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It takes us being filled with the word of God to come back. Because let me tell you, it's only the word that pushes the enemy back.
Okay. So it's not really, I guess it's not really enough just to sometimes pick it up and sometimes, you know, maybe say a 2 second prayer here or there. Because I don't know if enough people realize how serious a war we're in. Like, you're born into a war twice. Just as a human being, you're born into a world where the devil is trying to take out the image of God and take you out and your family too. And then if you get saved, it intensifies, it seems like.
Well, I think this is the thing. People don't realize when we say, give us this day our daily bread, it gives us the parameters of what we need. Now, the daily bread, daily word, is showing us, first of all, that there is a regimen that God gives daily. That's important. And then the daily bread is also what? Some people say it's devotion, but I like to say it's deliverance. Right? It's deliverance. God says every day, is deliverance is not a one day thing, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers. And it talks about, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. Then we talk about the carnal strongholds. We got to realize that is a daily battle. Why? Because when you were born in some demonic principalities which further their agenda through thought patterns and belief systems and customs. Every day you're interacting sociology with individuals from various societies and social groups, right? You're being exposed to faulty and carnal belief system patterns. It takes the daily word, it takes the daily injection of the kingdom of God to say, no, that's not of God. I capture that thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ, right? Because if not, then those thought patterns become strongholds and you will do what you say you wouldn't do. Why? Because you're not feeding your spirit man the right substance that it needs daily.
But what if someone would come and say, well, I did that, you know, I had the thought that came to my mind and I said, you know, that's not of Christ. And I said a scripture, but it kept coming back to my mind. What am I supposed to do?
You got to continue to, like, if listen, and just because it comes back doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. I think sometimes we think because, like if you liked oranges, why would the devil send you bananas? There comes a time in your spiritual walk where the enemy knows your previous level of stamina. For some of you, it's 2 days. So he know all I got to do is get beyond day two, right? Day three, she going to give in. Come, I'm preaching already. Y'all got what I'm saying? We got to realize you got to break the cycle. It comes with the renewal of the mind. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Romans 10, 12, and 1 and 2, right? And be not conformed what to this world or this world system, but be ye transformed. By what? The renewal of your mind, which means your mind is renewed by the word of God.
So we have a question for you. I want to get some of these questions in. One question is, how important is the company we keep in the early stages of deliverance?
It is essential. There are some people you just gonna have to go cold turkey. Look, we can't talk until a month, because me talking to you is gonna take me back to a place I know God is not pleased.
Okay. So right? if I stop smoking crack, I shouldn't hang out with people who smoke crack?
Listen, you can go back to the crackheads, but make sure you have, listen, once you got to be all the way converted.
Yeah. That was a joking way of saying it, but the truth behind that is, if we are trying to remove something from our lives, then we have to, and there are people that we love, but we still have to remove that from our lives. Sure. Then that's what we need to do.
Yeah. The company you keep is essential. And if you want to be honest, if you want to know where you are and where you're going, look at the company you keep in. Because somebody's going to give in.
Okay. Okay. We have another question for you. So can you suggest, this is from someone who I think I may be prophetic, and it's a double question. Is there a way that I practice my gift? And can you suggest any practice scenarios that would help me get better? Or I guess that would be activations that would help me get better.
Oh my God. I think first of all, praying in the spirit and having a regimen of intercession, praying for others, is the best practice, honestly. There's a lot of books on prophetic practice and prophetic activations. I know John Eckhart got a book. I got a book, Shattered Prophetic Block. You can do some activations there. There are various books you can get on activation, but I think the best gift is waking up, asking the Lord, what do I need to be praying about?
I could ask him that?
Yes. Lord, what do I need to pray about? And letting the Lord highlight someone in your spirit. Lord, can you share what areas I need to pray about with this individual?
Okay.
I think, look, if you had a dream, praying that dream through, like you gotta realize that God is not trying to make you prophetic. He's trying to make you a son. And I think so many times we focus so much on the prophetic that we forget the responsibility that it comes with being a son. Because sons will do what prophets won't do. So the first call of every believer is to pray and to intercede. When you look at Abraham, I think it's Genesis chapter 20 or Genesis chapter 19. The first person that the Bible calls a prophet is Abraham. And the Bible says that the Lord told the king, go and tell Abraham to pray. He's a prophet and pray. And I think we as a people of God got to be stronger being led in prayer. That's the greatest way to be trained, because I'm telling you, when God trains you in prayer, he takes away the need for public affirmation. Like when God puts somebody in my spirit to pray for, I don't have to tell them I'm praying for them. I don't need to tell them to confirm what I pray for. And matter of fact, if you pray right, you won't see what you saw.
That's good right there.
Right, because I think what a lot of people love is to be right. And if your prophecies are always right, especially when it comes to demolition, damnation, struggle, and then I question your prophetic ability. Because the first time we see the prophet's mantle is the prophet being able to change what he saw. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, somebody. Hey, bless his
name. Change what he saw.
The Lord asked me one question about 2 years ago. He said, now, do you want the trophies or do you really want to be my prophet? All right. And if you really want to be God's instrument, you got to ignore the trophies. The trophies is, let me post what I saw getting ready to happen. Let me post my prophetic word to show everybody I'm on. Let me post all of this. Then no. That's cool. I ain't gonna talk about some of my friends, but you know, I'm good on that.
Okay, before there's one other thing I want to get to, but before I get to that, I want this one other question. We've been focusing on how the prophetic would help us so far. We've been focused on how help us in our daily battles and what those battles look like. Are we charged, because you mentioned intercession, does that mean that even if you feel you're prophetic or even if you don't, are we charged to do that same level of warfare for, let's say, our nieces or the cousin that you don't like, or you know, or the people of our neighbors? Are we supposed to have that same force with it?
Yes, I would say yes, because we got to realize that the Bible says, surely the Lord God would do nothing except he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets, right? The Lord wants to move in the earth, but it's contingent on the prophets speaking so that God can move. People don't realize that. Like, God is looking for a mouthpiece. Because this world that we exist was activated through words, it is also feathered and controlled and stimulated by words.
Okay.
Oh, bless his name. Then that's good right there, right? Mm-hmm. So everything in the earth right now has a voice print for the voice of God. When the Bible says that the earth is groaning and moaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, we looking at, what does that look like? It ain't miracles. It's the mouth of God speaking back to creation. It's waiting for its father to speak back to it. Okay. That is good. Like you've longed for your mom's voice, right? Most of you right now saying, if I could just, your mom passed, if I could just hear my mama's voice again, this, if I could just hear my child's voice, you may have lost a loved one. If I could hear my cousin's voice again, the creation is saying, if I could just hear the voice of God again.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
They're going to preach right there. If I just, and when something has lacked the voice of God, it doesn't care what, listen, it can say, sit down and shut up. You're like, God, I'm so glad. Earth is waiting for the sons of God to tell it to do something. So warfare is the word of God in creation.
Right? Oh, that's like, good.
Okay, hallelujah.
Yeah, that's good right there.
And that's the real warfare. Because I can sit here and tell the devil you're bad, you're ugly. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can bring destruction to the things that the devil has tried to cause or is causing.
Okay. So put introducing that word of God back into creation. So if we are in the name of God, a name means character, nature, and authority of God. So the earth and everything, all the systems are waiting for the character, the nature, and the authority of God to walk up and say something. Is that right?
Yes. And I just want to share this with God told Jeremiah, he said, I'm going to call you to tear down, to pluck up, what? To build, to plant. Mm-hmm. And immediately we think warfare is always demolition.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share that sometimes warfare is the construction of infrastructure against the devil? Like, you got to realize sometimes warfare is financial.
Mm-hmm.
So if I right now, as a prophet of God, can cause the economy to shift in the kingdom's favor, I just have waged a good war against the enemy.
Oh, that's good right there. That's good.
And that's good now. Oh, that's now good. Y'all get some stuff that I ain't even talked about. bless his name.
That's good, because we're looking at things outside of ourselves. Because, you know, God sees everything from a bird's eye view. He sees everything.
Yes.
And we're so caught up in the daily horizontal that we're not taking the bird's eye view on how do we bring liberty to the captives around worldwide. I mean, you know, in our neighborhoods and city, for those who, no matter what the system is, how do we set those captives free, right? How do we heal those people whose hearts have been shattered and broken?
Yes.
Right? And that's part of, you know, when we get out of ourselves and stop worrying about just fighting for everything for ourselves, it sounds like you're saying this is the move we need to be moving into.
Yes.
We're linking up and causing havoc on purpose. In the
yes.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So this is good. Go ahead.
I mean, you can either fuss about it or you can create something that's kingdom that breaks the enemy down. It cuts them off at the knees. Come on, somebody.
This is good.
You know, when we think about warfare, and I feel God, when we think about warfare, because I believe God has really set many of you free. I told you guys that warfare is financial. And one of the things that Jesus showed us when coming against things that have come against the church is that Jesus reconstructed the financial system of his day. What do we see Jesus doing in the temple? Turning over tables, right? Mm-hmm. And really upsetting the spirit of mammon that tried to erect itself in the church, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they were misappropriating finances, right? They had the wrong agenda as it relates to money. So Jesus turned over as a, I think it was symbolic and natural, right? That I'm getting ready to bankrupt, come on, your economic system. Okay, that's right. That's warfare.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't realize that the prophet carries the economy of heaven.
Mm.
And so when you see Elijah coming and saying, it's not going to rain. Ahab wasn't mad that it won't rain. He was mad because it's his economic system just was at a halt. He shut down all vegetation. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have water, you don't have produce. All vegetation stopped immediately.
Yes.
Come on. When Joseph, I don't know why I'm going here. When Joseph had the the vision in the prophetic word as it relates to preservation and famine. Come on, the powers that be, come on, the principality, come on, that was dominating, come on, got turned upside down. Why? Now because kingdom became the distribution system.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's warfare.
That'll cause a shift. That will cause a shift.
Come on, somebody.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I'm thinking about all of this stuff that's going on. And, you know, it seems to me, if I'm looking at it from that perspective, from a God perspective, there's about to be a shift.
It's about, look, even Noah, you got even Noah getting on the ark, God put Noah in top tier demand, right? You couldn't get a lion without coming to Noah. Now, come on, somebody. You couldn't get a dog without coming to Noah. Why?
Yes.
Because God said, this change, this shift is going to put you at an advantage, and that's warfare.
That is good. That is good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the doctor. Just how serious this is, but how needful it is in our lives, and how to use our connection with God and with the voice of God to actually help us by submitting to God and resisting the devil to actually help us. Now, I have something else that I want to, I'm getting ready to put something else for you. Our guest has not seen this yet, so this will be a surprise to him. So let's roll the video. He's like, I didn't know it was going to be that type of party. Let's roll the videotape, please. Is it about to go down this year, sir?
Man, you did that. Now, that was nice.
That was nice, wasn't it? Well, that is courtesy of your incredible media team. They are on it.
What?
They are on it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Huh?
They did that.
They did that. Yes, sir. So I put that up because there is a very special event coming up this year. You are hosting it. Please tell us about Shamar 25. What does it do?
Listen, it is going to be on and popping in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the time of miracles. Listen, I really believe the Lord has given us that word, unusual miracles, that God is going to do something unusual. And you know it has to be unusual because we're in a time of great turmoil, friction. Come on, out of this world. And it's during these times that miracles break out. And I want you to be in the building. I have assembled together some of the most prolific orators of the gospel. They're going to be coming in. They move in miracles, exploits, legs growing, eyes opening. It's going to be on and popping in. And you need to listen. Registration is already open. And I'm giving you something that nobody else knows about besides our church. Registration is open. You can go register right now and secure your seat. TheShamarExp.com. I would love to see you. I would love to see you. It's going to be a powerful time in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, it's going to be off the chain. So go to the TheShamarExp.com. It's on your screen. It looks a little funny, but go to the site. You have to be in Shamar. I've been to everyone since 2021. Amazing time. I've learned so much. And what I love about it, what I appreciate so much, is the growth that I have every time. Now, I love the prophecies that go forth. I love the word that goes forth. I love the presence of God that is there. But what I love mostly is because every time I walk away with it, I walk away with something for my life that benefits me and puts me in another place than I was the year before.
Yes.
I know you have to have tons of people who say that.
Yes, it's gonna be a powerful time because I'm telling you, we have people that when you leave this conference, you're gonna be moving in miracles. We have people activating you in miracles. It's gonna be a great time. If you need a miracle, you come to the conference. You have any sickness, tell them. You got anybody with a devil, bring them to the conference. Pay the registration fee, get them to the conference so they can get the devil cast out of them at the conference. It's gonna be a great time.
Okay. And when is it again?
July 31st, August 1st, August 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. You can go to theshamarexp.com. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a great time in the Holy Ghost. We have some of the speakers you're going to be knowing about, some local people from Atlanta area. Some of my friends are going to be, my spiritual father is going to be with us. Some of the ministers in my house are going to be ministering. It's going to be a great time. I would love to see you there with us as we grow, as we learn. If you thought tonight was something with me and Minister Elliott, you got to go. It's going to be powerful, okay? There are some greater than I whose shoes I'm not standing, I'm not worthy to walk in. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a great time in the Holy Ghost. If you register presidential, you get some special perks. I mean, really special perks. A book written by me, some special morning sessions, some exclusive presidential empowerment sessions. It's going to be a great time. I'd love to see you. I love to see you.
And you know, one thing I want to mention that you didn't say is, you know, and what I think is amazing at this is because of all that's going to happen there, but also in a world where the prices have gone up, in a world where people are trying to squeeze every bit of money they can out of people, you actually reduce the price of your conference by $100.
Yes, yes, yes. Which is crazy. It's the Lord. I'm telling you, it's the Lord. All right. So it is sweet. For those of you who registered presidential in the past, you know it's always been a little higher. So this year we brought it down a little bit. We're going to give you even more, more things at your disposal. It's going to be a great time. I got to see you there. Don't be there. Don't let me be there by myself. Meet me in the place so we can praise God together, grow up in God together, and come out to beat the devil's head to the white meat together.
To the white meat shows, that's what I'm talking about. Well, Dr. Howell, I'm so grateful that you came by and that you were able to share this word with all of the people. I think that I think a lot of people are going to be freed in a lot of ways from this. The scripture says, again, like you said, that it's because of the things that we don't know. It's because of goodness, come on, tell me, say the scripture again. It's Hosea 4:6.
People perish.
There we go. The people perish for a lack of knowledge. So that means the things that you don't know actually can hurt you and cause you loss, and you and your family loss. So Dr. Howell has given us some great insights, some great information, some great revelation on the heart of God for you in this, and then some things that we can do to make sure that we continue to prime ourselves up for the battle that we're in, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our school. You see what's going on out in this world. God needs someone that's going to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And yes, I think that you want to be that person. Thank you so much, Dr. Howell. I appreciate it. You guys, make sure you go check out The Shamar EXP. Be in the house, unusual miracles. How many people will put something on that? But God has something special for you. And remember to get the book. Which the book is with activations in it?
Shattering Prophetic Block. You can get it on Amazon right now. Go order
yes.
it. It'll be powerful. It'll help you.
And keep in mind Shamar Institute. Yes. The man of God usually has a prophetic class that goes up. And I believe he has one he's planning for April.
Yes,
he's talking about the seriousness of April. But watch out for it. How can we find you on social media?
You can go to my handle, Dr. Charlie Howell _3. You can search my name, Charlie Howell III, on Facebook. You can follow me on TikTok, but Dr. Charlie Howell_3. Yep, so come see me. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, everybody. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for watching the replay. We'll be here next Thursday. And we'd like to end with the man of God's favorite saying. We're going to leave
you. I see you in the glory.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
We'll be right back.